Want to look at these verses this morning under the title, Mourning Mingled with Joy. Mourning Mingled with Joy. In verses 28 to 33, we have the account of Jacob's death. But in verse 28, we have a summary, a very brief summary, of the blessings that he had given to his sons. That though some had received a reproof and a rebuke from the father, as Reuben and Simeon and Levi, they didn't get a favorable report from the father, yet they, because of being in the household of faith, they still took hold of the blessings of God. They still received the blessing from their father. They still remain partakers of the promises of God. They would in due course receive their portion of the promised land. Even though they had received rebuke, even though they had received reproof, yet they were not cast off. They were not cast out. They were not rejected. They too received the blessing from their father. Secondly, we see Jacob's charge to his sons, verse 29. I am to be gathered unto my people. I am in due time to die. But this is my charge to you, that you bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. Bury them, he is to be buried, his body is to be taken to Canaan and buried where his father and his mother, his grandfather and grandmother, and even his wife Leah lay. They were buried. And he is to be buried there also. Gathered unto his people in body, but also gathered unto his people in spirit. Although he is going to be separated from his earthly family, yet he will go to be with his heavenly family. He will go to be with the people of God. He will be joined with them. Separated from one, but joined to the other. He had been separated from them. He has buried his father, he buried his mother, he buried his wife. Now he was going to be joined to them. But he would be leaving his own family behind, separated from them. He gives a reason to his sons and telling them, take me, take my remains, take my bodily remains and bury me in Canaan. A reason to them to remember that it is their inheritance. They are not to forget Canaan. They are to remember that it is the land of promise. They are not to be attached to forever and a day to Egypt. But they were to be buried. He was to be buried in Canaan. They were to take his body and take him into the land of Canaan, the land of promise. That's their land. That's the land where their fathers are buried. They were not to forget. A lesson to remember the land. This is a promised land. Not Goshen, but Canaan. It was a remembrance also of the promise of God. He wasn't thinking of Canaan in some emotional, sentimental way, but he was thinking of Canaan as the promise of God. Genesis 46, verse 4, God said that he would go down with him into Egypt. Fear not to go down to Egypt, Jacob. I will go with thee. But as he would take him down and go with him into Egypt, so he would take him back up again. He would bring him back to the land of Canaan. And though he died in Egypt, the fulfillment of that promise is that his body be taken to the land of Canaan. His seed will eventually come back to the land of Canaan. They would enter into the promised land. They would take possession of the promised land. And there would be that 12 portion of tribes of Israel taking possession of Canaan. So the promise, he had a view to the promise, an eye to the promise of God. that he would be restored. He would be brought back to the land of Canaan and his seed also. Thirdly, then, we see in verse 33, Jacob's death. He made an end of commanding his sons. He has finished speaking to them. He had finished blessing them. He had finished with the charge. He had said all that he needed to say. And now he dies. He's prepared for death. He gathers up his feet onto his bed and yields up the ghost. He had prepared himself to meet with the sons, to speak to his sons. Genesis 48, verse 2. Behold, one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel straightened himself and sat upon his bed. He prepared himself to speak to his sons. It was Joseph and Ephraim and Manasseh, first of all. And then the rest of the sons gathered in. And he was sitting on his bed, prepared himself, strengthened himself, made himself ready to speak to his sons. Now he had finished. He prepared himself for death. He lay down upon his bed and gathered up his feet onto his bed, lay down and yielded up the ghost and died. He was ready to face death. He was not afraid of death. He knew that when he died, he would be gathered onto his family, onto his people. And so he faced death. And in a way, it would have been comforting to his family that he was prepared for it. That they too would be reassured, that they too would put their trust in God. That they too would be ready to face death themselves. So he yielded up the ghost. He submitted himself to the God, the Father's spirits, and he joined with the family of the faithful, the assembly of God's people. So Jacob dies. Then secondly, we have Jacob mourned, chapter 50, verses 1 to 6. And we see immediately Joseph, his mourning for his father. The father whom he had missed for so long. He'd been taken from his father's family. He had been sold into slavery. He had suffered at the hands of Potiphar's wife. He had spent some time in jail. He had been forgotten about and abandoned and left in jail until the time when God had called him out of it, where he answered and interpreted the dreams that Pharaoh had received from God. And then for 7 years, they gathered all that the land had brought forth, that bounty, that plentifulness of the land that God blessed, in order to provide for the 7 years of famine. Eventually he met with his brothers and was reconciled to them, and they had come down along with Jacob, his father. Jacob had thought that on hearing the news the death of his son, or the alleged death of his son, and seeing the coat of many colours dripping with blood, he thought his son was surely dead and he would never see him again, and he would go down to the grave mourning. But he didn't. He went down to the grave with his family around about him, blessing his sons, blessing his son Joseph and his two children, and bringing them into his family, that Manasseh and Ephraim were counted as his own children. He didn't go down to the grave mourning. He went down to the grave rejoicing. In these opening verses, we see the fulfillment of God's promise to him again in Genesis 46, where he says, Joseph will close thine eyes. So he would see Joseph. And he dies in front of Joseph, and Joseph falls upon his father's face and weeps upon him and kisses him. The love and respect that he shows for his father. And he commands the physicians to embalm his father's body, to prepare it for burial. It's going to take some time to get his body up to Canaan, and so his body is embalmed. And they mourn him for 40 days. 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourn for him 70 days. For those 70 days, those 10 weeks, even the Egyptians mourn him. It's not just Joseph. It's not just his family. But even the Egyptians mourn Jacob. And they put spices on his body and prepare him for burial. What do the spices do? Well, they preserve the body. The spices prevent the body from decaying. Well, maybe not perfectly, but that's the idea, is that the spices, the embalming, preserves the body. What does the psalmist tell us in Psalm 16, verse 10? Thou shalt not let thy body see corruption. The picture of Jesus Christ and his death and burial, that his body sees not corruption. Luke 24, verse 1, has the woman with the spices. Having got the spices, they intend to go to the grave of Jesus and to put the spices on his body. So he's embalmed. And we say the Egyptians themselves, even they mourn the death of Jacob. He's the father of Joseph, the one who had delivered them from the famine, the one who had gathered all this corn, the one who had been the saviour to them. And so there is respect unto Joseph and unto his father. So much so that when Joseph comes to Pharaoh and asks for permission, for leave to take his body, his father's body, up to Canaan, that he had made this promise to his father to bury him in the land of Canaan. Let me go up, I pray thee, bury my father, and I will come again. Pharaoh says, go up, bury thy father, according as he made thee swear. He seeks permission, and Pharaoh willingly grants that permission to him. Yes, leave aside your duties here in Egypt, and go and take your father, and bury him as he has made thee swear. The respect even Pharaoh and the elders of the court, they go with him. It's not just his brothers who go up with him. All the house of Joseph and his brethren, but also the servants of Pharaoh and the elders of his house and all the elders of the land, they all go with him. They go with Joseph to bury Jacob. The respect and the honour that is given to him, the mourning that they show even unto Jacob. I hadn't thought of this before, but just as I was reading it, the thought came to mind. Joseph says to Pharaoh, now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And those words, those are the words that Jesus says, isn't it? He's going to depart from his brethren, from his disciples. They don't want him to go. They're saddened, they're sorrowed at his going, but he must go. But he gives them these words of comfort, I will come again. Let not your heart be troubled. Be comforted. You trust in God. Believe in God, believe also in me. I will come again. Here they're going to bury their father. Joseph says, I will come again. Jesus says, I will have to go to a place to prepare a place for you. But I will come again. I will gather you unto myself. I will gather you unto the people of God. As Jacob was gathered unto his people, so Christ has come again to gather us unto himself. I will come again. Then thirdly, Jacob's burial from 7 to verse 14. As I said, Joseph and his brethren and their families go up. Only their little ones and their flocks and herds are left in the land of Goshen. And the servants of Pharaoh and the elders of his house and all the elders, all the dignitaries of the land of Egypt, all the high-ranking officers of the land of Egypt, they all go and they come to the threshing floor of Atad. And they mourn him there for 7 days and bury his body. It's a mixed body of mourners. Obviously, Joseph. And for his brethren, it's a heartfelt, sorrowful time to bury his father. The Egyptians may not have that same heartfelt sorrow, but at least they're coming there out of a sense of respect for Joseph and for his father. And they mourn. This is a marked contrast to what Genesis 43 verse 32 tells us. For there, Joseph had gathered his family, his brothers, into his house to have a meal with them. He sits alone. His brethren, they all sit at one table, and the Egyptians sit at another table, because to mix with the Hebrews was an abomination to them. They disdained the Hebrews. They looked down upon the Hebrews. And yet here they are, together, mourning the death of Jacob. It's a mixed company. Jacob had obviously earned a respect from the Egyptians. He had a good report with the Egyptians. They had regard for him. And all the time he had spent there, he gathered up this good report with them. As Paul tells us in Romans 12, verse 18, as far as is possible to live peaceably with all men. And obviously Jacob and his family had done that. They lived peaceably with the Egyptians. They had obtained a good report with the Egyptians. They had earned respect from them. And so there they are, this mixed company of mourners, Hebrews and Egyptians, going into the land of Canaan, mourning and burying Jacob. And there are those who witness this mourning. They're Canaanites. The inhabitants of the land of Canaanites saw the mourning in the floor of Atad. They said, this is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. They saw the grievous mourning. They saw the sincerity of their mourning. And therefore they named the name of it was called Abel Mizraim, the mourning of the Egyptians. So they saw that even those who are outside of Israel mourning. Is this a picture? Can we see something here? Am I reading too much into this of the Gentiles coming in? The Gentiles and the Israel coming together, united in Jesus Christ, to worship Jesus Christ. And so his sons did unto him according as he commanded, and they buried him in the burying place, buried him with his people, Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob. And then verse 14 tells us that they returned to Egypt. Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. Completed the business. His father was buried, and then he returns. He's true to his word. He keeps his word. Returns to the land of Pharaoh. He could have stayed there. Well, this is the promised land. Let us stay here. But no, he gives his word. The little ones are still there. All their flocks, all their possessions are still in the land of Goshen. They return. And in due time, God will bring them out and bring them into the promised land. What lessons then can we take from these verses? Well, first of all, I want to bring to your attention, come back to chapter 49, verse 28. There is reproof, but there is also recognition. The Bible does highlight our faults. It doesn't play down the faults. It doesn't cover over our faults. It doesn't pretend we don't have any. Reuben, Simeon, Levi highlights their faults. Tells us of Jacob and his deceiving his father, pretending to be Esau, and getting the birthright and the blessing from Isaac. We can think of David and his liaison with Bathsheba, the daughter's affair with Bathsheba. His faults, not glossed over. Think of Jonah. God sends him to Nineveh. He gets on the boat and heads off in the opposite direction. Our faults are not hidden. And even Peter himself. 3 times you will deny me, Peter. No. I'll die for you. I'll not deny you. 3 times he denied him. Denied he knew Christ. Denied he was in any way associated with Jesus Christ. There is reproof for our sinfulness. But then there's also recognition for the goodness, their righteousness. We think of Genesis 6, verse 8, where Noah hath found grace in the eyes of God. Yet later on he became drunk. Even Job himself, in Job 1, verse 8, Job hast thou, Satan comes in the presence of God, and having gone up and down the earth, and God says, hast thou seen my servant Job, a perfect and upright man, a man who fears God, a man who eschews evil? There is recognition also of whatever goodness and righteousness that we have, whatever gifts we have. There's recognition of that. Thinking of Peter again, Matthew 16, verse 17, Christ talks to his disciples and says, who do men think I am? Well, some think you're Elias or Jeremiah or some other prophet. But who do you say I am? Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. But flesh and blood hath not revealed us to you, but my Father in heaven. There is recognition of blessings and good things. But they didn't lose anything. They didn't lose the blessing. They received the blessing. Jacob blessed them, and everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. And they entered in to the promised land. The Bible gives us warning. Warning of things that we ought not to do. Warning of things to avoid. Warning of the mistakes that others have committed that we should not follow after them. But it also gives encouragement that here are these men, faithful men, men of God, men who labored for God, men who suffered for God, men who we can emulate to follow after. There's warning in the scriptures, but there's also encouragement from the Word of God. Follow after me only so far as I follow Christ. Isn't that what Paul tells us? So there's reproof in scripture, but there's also recognition. Secondly, we see the long suffering of God for all our faults. For of all our feelings, for of all the shortcomings, all these men still found their name in that list of the faithful in Hebrews 11. Looking on to and trusting in God, we can still count ourselves as blessed. God has blessed us. We can still count ourselves as one who have a hope of inheritance. We haven't lost what God has promised to give to us. We may not get that reward, but we haven't lost what he's promised to us. They're still numbered with the faithful. Hebrews 11, verse 7 is Noah. Verse 24 is Moses. Verse 32 is David. They're still numbered with the people of God, the faithful. And even Paul. We can look at the life of Paul. What did he do? Persecuting the church. Arresting people. Having them cast into prison. Putting them to death. And yet he meets with the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Surely of all people, he would be the last one to receive any blessing from God. He didn't elevate himself, but he said that if you want to elevate yourself, if you want to be proud of something, I have something more to be proud of. A Hebrew to Hebrew, a Pharisee to Pharisees, a tribe of Benjamin, retaining the law, blameless. If you got something to boast of, I got something more. And yet, he persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. And on the road to Damascus, he met with Christ. Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? And he's been blind. Acts chapter 9, Ananias is told, go to Saul. Go to the street named Straight. Go and meet Saul. And I says, Saul, he's the one who's been persecuting the church. He's the one who's been doing injury to the church. But Jesus says, Ananias, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name among the Gentiles. He had a terrible report. And yet he's chosen by God to do a service unto him. A chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. And that's what he did. He preached the name of Jesus Christ. Determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified among the Gentiles. The long suffering of God. He puts up with our faults and failings. But he doesn't let go of us. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't cast us off. And thirdly, there is a time for mourning. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4. There is a time for mourning. Nothing wrong with mourning. It's understandable that Joseph would fall upon his father's face and weep upon him and kiss him. There is a time for mourning. James 4, verse 9 talks about turning our laughter being turned to mourning. Cleanse your hearts, purify your hearts, humble yourself before God. There's a laughter that has turned to mourning. That's a mourning for sin. A mourning for sin. Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, and humble yourself before God. But there is a mourning, a justifiable mourning. But with that mourning, there is that joy as well. Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. They're removed from this world of sin and wickedness. Their journey has come to an end. Their labors have been completed. And there's this mourning mingled with joy and being gathered unto the Lord's people. Paul. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. They that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together in him. Wherefore, verse 11, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Living in the light and dying in the light. Not that we die without hope. Those who are in the darkness die without hope. But those who die in the Lord, those who are children of light, die with hope. No more condemnation. No more wrath. But gathered unto the people. Gathered together in Jesus Christ. Surely that's the joy that belongs to the people of God. Even in death, there is a comfort that we will be meeting together with the loved ones who have gone before. And that those who remain behind, who are of the household of faith, we will meet together with them in due time also. Jacob gathered onto his people. A joyful hope of being gathered together onto the people of God, even in death. Comfort yourselves together, one another. Fourthly, we do see the respect and relationship shown between the Hebrew and the Egyptian. As is mentioned already, they would not eat it together. They ate apart in Genesis 43, verse 32. And yes, we are, as far as possible, as far as we are able to, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with them. And to have a good report. We are to live in such a way as Christ tells us in Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. To live openly before all. If they're going to hate us, if they're going to persecute you, let it be for the cause of Christ and not for any fault of our own. As Peter tells us, we are buffeted for our faults and we take it patiently. Well, what is that to our praise? We deserve our buffeting. We should take it patiently. But if we are buffeted because of Christ, if they hate us for the cause of the gospel and we take that patiently, then that is to the praise of God. But we do see here the respect that was shown between Hebrew and Egyptian of coming together. Let our light so shine that it will speak to others, be a witness unto others, that they may ask why it is you're so joyful, why it is you're living the life that you do, why it is that when all things come against you, you can still stand and not fault, not waver. Like Joseph. You think of the life of Joseph and all the problems he had faced and all the issues that had come across him, across his way, all the false witnesses and all the accusations and all the hatred and all the malice, and yet he still remained faithful unto God. God was with him. He didn't deviate from the way. And God caused him to prosper. And people saw his prosperity and they blessed him for it. Potiphar saw it and he raised him to elevation in his own house. The prison keeper saw it. Pharaoh saw it. And they saw Jacob too in his life and his manner of lifestyle. Here's a man of God. Do others see it in ourselves? Does our light so shine that people wonder, what sort of person is that? He isn't acting and reacting the way we do. And we can tell them because we follow a God, a merciful God, a gracious God, a holy and righteous God, the one who has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to save sinners. That they may see. And that they then may, through that witness, come to a saving faith in Christ. Then finally, final point, how quickly a nation can fall. Egypt showed respect unto Jacob, unto Joseph, unto his family. But the very first chapter, the very next book, we have Egyptians turning on the Hebrews, and bringing them into persecution. How quickly that a nation has turned from respect to the Hebrews to ridicule, scorn, and persecution. How quickly we can fall. Scripture tells us that let him who think he standeth take heed lest he fall. It's easy to fall. We can think of a little child beginning to take those first steps, staggering, stumbling, and easily falling. And then as they get their strength and confidence, well, they're jumping and running about. But then as they get older, frailer, weaker, the legs don't hold them as well. We need a stick to help us to keep our balance. How easy it is to fall. Matthew 13, verses 3 to 9, we have the sowing of the seed in different types of soil. There's the wayside, where the seed does even get down on the ground because the birds come along and they eat away at it. It's taken away. But then there's the stony ground. There is some depth of soil there, but not an awful lot. It begins to grow. There's some evidence of fruit there. Some evidence of growth there. But then the sun comes up and it withers and dies because there's no root in it. Then there's a thorny soil. And there's again some evidence of growth there, but it doesn't prosper because the thorns choke it and it comes lifeless. But then there is the good soil. The seed sown in the good soil has a good deep root and it grows and it's fruitful. And the sun can beat down all at once. It'll still stand. There's a falling away. A turning away from the faith. One of the latest newsletters from the Creation Ministries International has an article about the falling away of youth from the church. Why is it that we have all these organizations and with young children and they're full, but once they get into maybe teenage years, they begin to fall away? Why is that? That's the question they're asking. And the conclusion they come to is they're not given deep biblical truth, deeply rooted in the Bible and what it teaches, that when they face the outside world, they haven't got answers. And they're disillusioned, and they fall away. Is the church teaching their children? Well, in the case of the Creation Ministries, about evolution, for example, and what the Bible teaches about God and creation, answering the questions that many people ask them, that they'll be fortified, that they'll be deep-rooted, that they will remain faithful, their strength, their faith will grow. There is, in that soil, that parable of the soil, evidence of some semblance of life, but it dies away, it falls away. Hebrews 6, verse 6, speaking of those who have tasted, who have been enlightened, that if they fall away, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. A warning of how easy it is to fall away, that we need to be fortified. And we need to continue following after the God of Jacob, the God of Joseph. Not resting upon our own strength. Not depending upon ourselves and our own abilities. But actually looking to and depending upon and trusting in God himself. As Jude in verse 24 tells us, in that prayer that we're looking at during the week, now unto him, looking unto God, because we cannot do it ourselves, cannot maintain ourselves. We are faultless, or faultful. We are frail. We are full of weaknesses. We're still struggling over sin within us. So we can't depend upon ourselves, lean upon ourselves, but now unto him, unto God, who is able to keep you from falling, remaining faithful, steadfast in God and in the Bible, the Word of God, to sustain us and to keep us from falling. But he not only sustains us, he not only preserves us, he not only keeps us from falling, but is able to present you faultless, able to present us holy, without blame, to wash us clean, to renew within us and create within us a clean heart, to present us faultless before the presence of his glory, without fault, perfect. He's the one who perfects us. He keeps us and he perfects us and he presents us. He keeps us, perfects us, and presents us before his glory. We can come into the presence of God. He makes us fit for the very presence of God. Keeps us from falling. Presents us faultless. And brings us into the presence of God with exceeding joy. We will be gathered onto the household of faith. Into the very presence of God. Without fault. Without blame, perfect, with exceeding joy. And so when Joseph, yes, he mourned the death of his father, but then he, in due time, he too will be gathered unto his father, unto his people. But Jacob died. Yes, there was mourning, but he was ready. And dare I say, joyfully departed from this world. He gathered up his feet into his bed. He was willing and ready to go. He was not sorrowful. He was not fearful. He was at peace with God. And he gathered up his feet onto his bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. His sons mourned him. But there was joy in heaven, I suggest. That morning was mingled with joy, that he was gathered unto his people and his sons would be gathered unto him with him, there to be with him forever in the presence of the glory of God. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, the praise and the glory of it all goes to God. Goes to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Because without him, this will not happen. It is only in Christ that we will be gathered unto him. We continue faithful unto him, who is faithful unto us. He gathered us unto himself with exceeding joy. Amen.